To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Football Monday on WGR. That means Eric Wood, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Bills over the Bengals in a fun game, 39-34. Eric, before that Benford play, thinking about that playoff game all day. Just, it was snowing, and it just looked like the Bills did not have enough answers. But then Benford happens, they take the lead there, and it's theirs. So, I don't know, where was your head before that play?
Yeah, I was thinking it looked pretty similar. Our offense was having a much better day yesterday prior to the Benford day, but unable to keep pace with them with a turnover on downs at one point of the game and then the James Cook fumble, which essentially just allowed them to outpace us throughout the game. I mean, three possessions for each team in the first half. Both teams were so efficient that there just wasn't that many possessions. So you thought, well, we got to make a game-changing play here at some point or else we're likely not going to be able to get back into this one. And fortunately, they fire a corner blitz. It appeared Burrow decided he was going to throw out of a run play to chase on the outside, and Benford makes him pay. And I mean, Christian Benford, he's going to get a lot of hype for that play and running in the touchdown and the interception he had against the Steelers. But I mean, he has been playing some incredible ball. You know, I was trying to think, you know, early in the season, he was taking some lumps in the media and whatnot after getting a contract extension. And to me, I think we all kind of glossed over the fact that him and Tre'Davious White both suffered groin injuries on the same day, you know, as they get back to Orchard Park after training camp. And maybe that's part of the reason why, but that guy is playing some incredible football right now.
Yeah. And the timing couldn't be better. I mean, thinking even of Sunday, I mean, I haven't really started thinking hard about Sunday, but Diggs lit the Bills up when the Patriots were here back in week five? Mm-hmm. So, maybe it's time to like have Benford follow Diggs around. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be what they do, but he has been locking guys up. That's for sure.
No, I think in obvious pass situations, you likely do that. Just understanding that, you know, Diggs had a big game against you. He's, even though they do spread the ball around, and he's had, I believe, 300-yard games on the season, but nothing like the game that he had in Orchard Park where he went for, 147 or something in the game. And so, yeah, you likely do that in this instance. And, you know, with Diggs being older, he coming off the ACL and all that, he gets an extra rest heading into this game too, with them having the bye week last week.
You know, so much of getting a play like Benford made yesterday is just having the right call at the right time. I said sort of, I don't know if I'm half kidding, 25% kidding, that if the Bills had better luck rushing the passer with four yesterday, maybe Benford isn't even blitzing. at that moment. But it turns out they were having a real tough time getting to Burrow at all. So by the time that part of the game rolls around, it's, you know, they're into the bag a little bit, recognizing that they, you know, got a big sack from Bosa last week on a play that Benford was also blitzing. Same sort of concept. That's why he's there in the backfield for the scoop and score against Pittsburgh. But I just think the circumstances sometimes are so random that you end up in a situation where you have the opportunity to make a play, because, you know, I don't know how often he blitzes on that play. It can't be many times per game, if it's even like a time a game. But right moment, and there it was.
No, you're exactly right. And we've actually gotten a lot more aggressive blitzing corners. Now, I think some of that's alignment. And this isn't a conversation I've had with Bobby Babbage talking about this. I actually heard, I believe it was Josh Allen talking about facing the Chiefs and how if they were going to bring a safety blitz, but then you're in a tight alignment with the receiver, there's not really space for the free safety and the corner there off the edge. It becomes very obvious. So then you just fire the corner in that instance and the safety goes over the top. And so, you know, whether that was going to be a safety blitz or it's truly them firing him off the edges, they have been aggressive with those cornerback blitzes, and they've worked a good amount. And, you know, I can't point back to a play where we ran a corner blitz this year and, you know, they get it out to a receiver who makes a huge play, which is generally one of the reasons why teams don't call corner blitzes, is because you can leave yourself so susceptible. You have to really pick and choose your timing of when you do it. You generally want it to be a run play. And if it's not going to be a run play, it's got to be a tight split by the receiver. So one, he can hit home, and two, guys can fill over the top quickly without completely giving away that you're running that blitz.
With Eric Wood, the two big Allen runs late, the touchdown, of course, and then the one that salts the game away. How was it that wide open for him on one or both of those plays? Like, Cincinnati, we know their numbers defensively, like, terrible. But to me, it seems like that should be something that they would, if a guy gets beat, so be it, Eric, but have been ready for. Easier said than done, I'm sure. But, like, it was so wide open for Allen, especially on the touchdown. Was there a mistake there that you noticed, or just a scheme mistake, or something that Cincinnati kind of blue in those moments?
Well, on the 40-yarder, they're running a blitz with man-to-man coverage. So as soon as Josh Allen gets through the line of scrimmage, he's likely going to be off to the races. It's likely going to be a big play, not necessarily a 40-yarder. It takes, you know, some speed and all that from the quarterback position to have that happen, and timely routes where you're not running into right where your receivers are. Deion Dawkins on the play goes out, blocks the end. He comes back and hits the linebacker because we don't have enough blockers. So part of, you know, Al Golden, their defense coordinator, is probably thinking, well, I don't need a spy. I have an extra rusher here. You know, someone's coming free. Well, Deion gets two on that play, and then all of a sudden Josh breaks through the line of scrimmage, and with the man-to-man coverage, he's out. And then the one late in the game to not have a spy in that situation, I'm sure Cincinnati media is having fun with that one here today. Or, you know, why weren't more guys rallying to the football? Why was everyone so far back? I get it's 3rd and 15, but that's not necessarily a sticks coverage where everyone's standing right at, you know, 15 yards down the field. You know, to me, I don't know exactly how that second one was so wide open, other than the fact that Josh broke through a four-man rush, and it just didn't seem like the spacing of the Cincinnati defense had them in any position to stop him there.
That was huge. To me, like, that's the only – was there a timeout before that? There was a sack on second down, and then there was a time to think. And that was, I felt, the only thing other than a penalty that would get Cincinnati beat there was, like, Allen getting out. But it's still 17 yards he needs there, 15 yards. So probably he doesn't just walk to a first down.
I was bracing for a handoff to burn the time and a punt and then hang on tight and hope they don't get in range.
Yeah, me too. I wonder if he ever had any thought of throwing the ball on that play.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he did or – I don't know exactly. It didn't look like a true draw, like a quarterback draw play. Mm-hmm. You know, guys were out routes. Maybe if there's, you know, someone you can hit quickly up a seam or whatever it may be, you know, you take that and try and get 15 there. Or we've seen Josh create more time in the pocket and then ends up, I mean, he picks up third and longs at an incredible rate. and I've said that for years on the broadcast, like most of the time teams have to be so conservative in third and 11 plus, and Josh routinely picks those up. And so, yeah, that was a huge play because you don't want to obviously give them the ball back there with a chance, you know, to come back and all that. So to ice the game in that fashion was a ton of fun. And, yeah, that was a big play. And it was also a big play on the sack. I know they stayed aggressive and, you know, you take a loss of 7. I think it was 2nd and 8. You take a sack to get to 3rd and 15. But for Josh not to spike that ball to either continue the clock to roll or to force them to use another timeout.
Right.
In that situation, that's the correct play. And instincts, you know, he didn't put the ball in harm's way, throwing it down the field for a potential pick. He didn't, you know, burn the ball at the ground. You don't want to, you hate that you take a sack there and back up 7 yards, but that's what you got to do.
It's better than stopping the clock. Yes, you did. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Forgive me if you already mentioned this when Mike first asked you about the touchdown run, Eric, but how about Dawkins and Edwards on that play? It's subtle, but I think Dawkins talked about it after the game.
Yep.
How Edwards points out the blitzer, because we've seen them mix that up before. But Dawkins said without Edwards doing that, he would have blocked the man on his left, and that's the guy that Allen evades. And, like, you know, when they're sending numbers, you can talk more about this. Obviously, you know it intimately. You know, sometimes there's a guy you leave for the quarterback to handle, and in that case, it was the guy on the edge, and Allen stepped inside him and was gone.
Yeah, that's I love that Deion said that after the game, because a lot of times there's guys helping out each other at the line of scrimmage and someone does something like that and they don't truly give the credit where it's deserved. You know, but that's the sign of a good offensive line, that everyone's communicating at the line of scrimmage, helping each other out. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. Some of us are, you know, more keenly aware of maybe what a defense is doing on a snap-to-snap basis. Others can do things athletically than the rest of us can't. And, you know, we all use our skill sets and strengths to be able to hopefully be a well-functioning offensive line. David Edwards, it goes without saying, and everyone said this for a while about him, he's just extremely cerebral. So part of his role in the offensive line and being at the line of scrimmage is to communicate those types of things. And so – really heads up play by David Edwards to alert that when you have a 5-man protection on the backside, there's times where you'll throw hot and then there's other times where you want it to develop a little bit. And so that's called double bumping. It takes a really skilled left tackle to be able to go out, get a shot on the defensive end, still be watching the linebacker in case he triggers, to then come back and get a shot on him. But that's Deion Dawkins.
So Eric, it's New England. On Sunday, the Bills are still chasing the Patriots, of course, 2 games back. Their odds are not great, even with a win here. They'll need New England to lose to either the Jets or Dolphins, even if they also lose to Baltimore first, to have a look at the AFC East. I'm not sure exactly how I'd want to ask a question here, because I don't want to ask something like, should they try? Because, of course, I mean, it's big enough. And you never know if that might happen for the Patriots. So I guess you just sort of keep your head down here. But it's also, you know, I think about this on the heels of last year or even previous years to that, where the Bills they get to the end of the season and multiple guys are injured and, oh, man, the bye week would have been great. It's going to be tough to get there here. But so it's just like to say it's important, but really, it only ends up being important if New England loses either to New York or Miami.
Yeah, no, I see your point there. So, yeah, is it a rush Bosa back from the hamstring, or, you know, mm-hmm. you look at individual cases like that? No, I see your point completely there. It's not a win or go home type of situation. You know, you still have a strong playoff chance. Even if you don't win this game, of course, your chances at, you know, winning the division go down even further. I think I saw it at about 17% or 18% today to win the division, which is just going off of, you know, future win probabilities on games and all that. But no, I mean, they want to go win this game and do everything they can and put themselves in a position that if New England slips up and we stay hot, we could potentially win the division. But to your point, this isn't a win or go home. So it's not a rush Bosa back, Palmer, whoever that may be for this week.
What should be the question I want to ask then? Like, no, you want to take it a little bit slow if you can with injured guys that are on the fence for this game. Sometimes we end up talking about schemes and the playbook and whether games are, you know, in short, important enough to
use all your best stuff.
Yeah, like, is this game that? You are hoping for a sixth straight division title. There's a lot to that. But in the end, maybe you don't empty the clip, so to speak.
Yeah. So from a former player's perspective, like, you're not thinking in that way at all.
Right.
You know, and I don't even know that the coaching staff would even say that out loud. You know, could Joe Brady maybe hold something back potentially, you know, for a potential postseason rematch? Anytime you're going against an opponent that you could see again, you know, it's okay. We're giving them formations and concepts that, you know, we could potentially work off of better in a second matchup when they have to prepare for this. But all that being said, you know, it's up to the trainers, the coach, maybe the front office to kind of handle those injury decisions and all that. But these guys are going to coach and go out and play to go out and win this game. And, you know, you could talk about the Diggs storyline or, you know, the Patriots seemingly being back and all the talk that, well, now the Patriots have the best quarterback head coach combo in the division. And the fact that if you lose this game, it becomes a hat and t-shirt game for them in the locker room with a big time celebration. Yeah, I think there could be some safer decisions, but they're going to go out fighting in this one.
I'm imagining a scenario, just sitting with this for a moment, if you'll allow for this silliness, where Brady has, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, has in his office, like, a vault that can only be opened with, like, reading his eyeballs. And it's like, these are the plays. Like, they're holding back.
This is the Glengarry like, lease.
These are the ones we've been saving for January. Here they are. Treat them with respect.
They're in a safe that's inside of another safe.
Right.
That's funny. And then you pull one out, and it doesn't work, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Why didn't we just stick to our bread and butter stuff here?
Right, because somebody trips on a ball. There was a play they ran in a short yardage thing earlier this year where I think the right tackle, Spencer Brown is coming around. He's got to get a guy at the line of scrimmage on the left side of the formation and trips on Osiris Torres' leg, and that blows up the whole play. And like, it looked like a really cool idea, and it was absolutely going to work if Brown doesn't trip on.
Well, now you want to run it again because the other guy's not expecting it at all. They won't ever run that again.
Right.
Eric.
Right. And to your point, I don't know that offensive coordinators have that vault. I mean, obviously you have packages and formations that maybe you save, but I don't know. At what point do you say, well, shoot, now we need it? And then also I would say great offensive coordinators – who are around great offenses that have success, you find out what you do successful, certain looks, certain tendencies, and you just hope that defenses overplay them so that you can get to something else. And, you know, I'm kind of imagining, okay, we want to get the tight ends going early in this game yesterday. We know how bad New England struggles against tight ends. So we're going to give them a similar formation that they've seen, a very hard run fake, and the linebackers are going to suck up in the line of scrimmage and Dawson Knox comes wide open over the middle. It's like, I don't know that was like a break glass in case of emergency. We got to win this game against the Bengals at home. Or if that's like, okay, we found success. Boom, now this works.
Is there something, while we're here, we're kind of in the weeds a little bit, but I'm going to venture just a little bit farther. A play that is definitely in the crosshairs with fans is the tunnel screen. To Shakir, Kincaid ran it successfully yesterday. It's a play, Eric, someone called us on postgame complaining about the play. It never works. And I'm like, they had it twice at least today that it got first downs and more. So it's not, right. I know how it feels when it doesn't work. It feels like we're not even really trying to run. It's like, we can't get open downfield, so here, just let's do this, right? And so it's a frustrating play when it fails, but it does work often enough to validate them using it. Is there something they can do off of that look that could be sort of waiting to be unveiled?
Yeah, I believe we hit Kincaid on a long pass earlier in the season down the sideline where Josh faked the tunnel screen and then hit him down the field. You know, even it, so we have formational tendencies of how you're – like, you can't just run a tunnel screen to a one receiver side. I guess you could, and then you'd have your own lineman go out and block in front of it. But they likely can't get to a corner. You struggle to call that because if the corner's up, there's no one near him to go block. So, okay, if we get in a trips formation or there's multiple receivers to a side, teams understand the Bills have had a lot of success running screens, and they can make you pay, and Shakir's had long ones. Okay, well, now we have to spread out a little bit further. So does that open up running lanes better? Does it allow maybe some other concepts to work because you've threatened them on the outside? I understand they don't always work, but it can just be another added wrinkle within your offense that even when those don't work, it's the deep shot early against Tampa that Josh said, well, maybe that loosened up some of their underneath coverage, even though we didn't hit the one to Hardman. Those screens can often maybe open up the middle of the field and give you some other things based upon the fact that you have been effective with it. And then I think they're a great answer, which I think they're better as an alert play and not as a call it and run it all the time, because yesterday the Bengals had 6 to 7 guys inside the box, one of those simulated pressure works where you have 5, 6, 7 guys right around the tackle box and you don't know who's coming. Well, you're really susceptible on the outside. Josh flings it out to Kincaid, and he picks up a first down with ease. Like, that takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, and it can get the defenses out of some of those goofy looks that are really hard for us to identify at the line of scrimmage.
Eric, a thing or two here quickly as we close. The Chiefs lose again. I don't know how much of that game you got to watch last night, and Houston gave the Bills a very hard time as well defensively, but everything looks like it's coming so hard for Kansas City. Does it make sense to you? Is there a simple explanation, or is it a lot of things? What do you think?
Yeah, I got to watch every second of that one. Their offensive line really struggled against Houston's front with 3 guys out, you assume so, and then they lose their left tackle on the first play of the game.
Yep.
Tough situation there. Who was already – Wanya Morris is already their backup tackle, and then he gets hurt. So they were going to struggle in pass protection, which then Houston knows you're probably not going to be able to hold on the ball long, so they can get really tight in coverage and jump things, knowing you're probably not going to have long developing plays down the field. And, you know, Kelsey drops a ball that goes for an interception. Kareem Hunt drops a 4th-and-1. Rashee Rice drops a 4th-and-short. It's like they did enough to beat themselves, and then also just with the injuries on the offensive line and – you know, Rashee Rice is a good ball player. Worthy's got some speed. Obviously, Mahomes is who he is. But, man, there's just not a lot on that offense that truly strikes fear in you right now. Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, you know, they got some speed at receiver with Brown and Thornton. But, to me, they don't have a lot of guys that strike fear in you right now.
Mm-hmm. Now it's New England, and at the risk of bringing up a sore subject – there's a chance I'll be listening to some of this broadcast. I mean, there's always that chance. This is the toughest one to listen to. Anybody broadcasting from Gillette, because the fans are so close to the mic, Eric. There's like right in front of you, right? That's tough. I listened to their last game was a night game, and I heard a national broadcast. I'm like, there are a few fans, you can just hear everything they say.
I know. Yeah, it can be pretty annoying too, because unfortunately for them, we've had a lot of success there recently, and so they hear me and Chris projecting like towards the back of their heads. Yeah. Well, then they get offended when we celebrate a touchdown and all of that, and then they say stuff back to you, and they want to mess with you, and I mean, I think it's a pretty poor design. And then they can say whatever they want to you, but then obviously we're working. We can't say anything back to them, which is like one of my least favorite things on earth right now, is like people, especially with social media, think they can say anything they want to anybody without repercussions. I'm like, that's not the way the world should work, but it's where we live in.
That's right. Okay, Eric, we'll have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a great week as well.
All right, thank you. That's our dude, Eric Wood, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances on WGR every Buffalo Football Monday are brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Sal's got an injury update from today. Sean McDermott speaking. We'll get to that and talk to Sal at 5. We'll look for more of your calls after the update next. 803-0550 to reach us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
But also the conversation of our MVP has shifted a little bit.
I would think
so. You mentioned Josh Allen. We weren't talking about him in the first half of the season. Now it's hard to talk about the MVP award without him in the conversation.
And I think you have to talk about the month of December. This is when the game is on the line, the season is on the line.
When it matters.
And also when the stars start to rise to the top because you start to lean on those guys that can get you across the finish line.
CBS, Nate Burleson and Bill Cowher. Allen is fourth today in the MVP odds. Not dead. May, Stafford, Love, Allen. I thought
May is still on top,
or it's Stafford May. Okay. I'm not sure, but they're the top two.
Those are the top two going into weekend, and that May didn't play, and Stafford had another.
Stafford had a great game. Yep. So did Love, I would say.
Yes.
That was a pretty cool game. You know, not a Brady fan. Brady was in the booth for that game in Green Bay. I got to watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's more than this probably. I'm reluctant to give him much credit. But there's one area where he's really good, the clock.
I thought he had a couple of moments yesterday where it was at least getting to where, for folks who really follow along with us, I was dreading him being excellent at that job. I thought he was going to be undeniably great at it, and that was going to annoy us, me, whatever.
Everyone.
And I haven't really, I didn't think he's really very good at it at all. But yesterday, there were a couple of different times where I just thought he had what to my ears was the right point, and it was presented in a, I don't know, like, I liked his energy a lot during that game yesterday. I didn't sit with it, like, you know, every minute, but what I saw, I liked him. That said, I don't want to get off of Brady if we don't have to, but the guy on the Bills game, Olsen, is just so good.
He's good. There was one moment yesterday where I was a little bit annoyed, but he and they recovered somewhat, and that's the play where Ty Johnson had a long run and went down without being touched, and then the Bengal guy knocked the ball out of his hands on the ground. And they never mentioned
whether
that
about it.
Should have been a fumble until after the commercials.
Yeah.
There was a score, after, like the Bills scored on that drive. And they came back from the break and brought it up and brought in Gene Steratore. And he said why it isn't a fumble.
The ball is a part of the, if you've got control of the ball, you're on the ground, then you're down. Like, touching the ball is essentially touching the player down.
Where did that rule come from?
Is what that explanation was.
Have you ever known that to be true?
I did not know, no.
Now,
I thought it could have been a fumble right away, too, watching it live.
Used to have plays where guys would go down untouched, and that was always really dumb. Because why would you ever do... You would always know you weren't touched. Even if you had been touched and you weren't sure, you'd get up and, like... Mm-hmm. It never made sense to me why guys would do that. And then worse would be the defensive players just standing around him. Right. Like they, I guess everybody just agreed that he was down. And, you know, just have the end of the play or even not, whatever. Now you see defensive teams wait for the player to try to get back up. And then they try to knock the ball out. That's a move now.
Yeah.
So this one, they didn't wait for Ty Johnson. I just never knew that you couldn't do what the Bengals did there.
Right. Not touch the player, just touch the ball.
Yeah. Because do you have to touch the player then? I guess they said yesterday they touched legs.
Yeah, well, I think Ty Johnson's one, the hand he wasn't holding the ball in
right,
was on the guy's like ankle.
That was it.
Or calf or something. And so, but yeah, I never knew that the ball, as long as it's in possession, right, it's not shaking loose in any way. It's an extension of the runner, actually, I think is how that ultimately was explained. What I really like that Olsen does, and I've seen him and heard him do this more than once, and he did it again yesterday, is when you get to the end, right? The Bills have got the ball. What's the timeout situation? He is always, not always, I just, at numerous times I've watched him do this. All right, let's lay this out. And like he'll just take you through it in a way that prevents me as a fan from having to sit there going, okay, 40 seconds and 40 more and how many timeouts and what? Tell me, please. I'm sitting here. As it turns out, yesterday I wasn't drinking beer, but like I'm on my couch. I don't want to do the mathing. I just want you to tell me what needs to happen here. How much time is going to be left if I run three run plays when I kick it away? Like, just give me that. And he does that, and I really appreciate that. I think it's a good little piece to have and be conscious of when you're in that spot. And I know you can't always think of everything, so I'm not even sure he does it all the time. But it's like it just feels very thorough, and that's an area, again, that I'm not – I would rather just have someone tell me what exactly is about to happen.
Well, that's along the lines of the compliment I was paying Brady because
– Yeah.
Just the clock – I mean, when he played, he was great at that. And we had Bills teams that were not, and they were always losing to the Patriots, and it always frustrated me that they wouldn't take their advantages such as they are. You don't have as good of players, but you could, you know, there are edges in this sport, and the Bills didn't figure out what to do about that, or they didn't care. So here's Brady last night. I'm not sure exactly what the situation was, maybe the Bears' last drive, and a couple of different times he's like, there's more time than you think, or mm-hmm. just, you know, he really had a handle on don't call a timeout here, do it then, that kind of stuff. It shouldn't be surprising that he'd be good at that. But you also have to be able to articulate it.
Right.
Not just know it. And so maybe they're both, I certainly like Olsen a lot too. I mean, they're both excellent in that area at least. Joe Davis was the play-by-play announcer yesterday.
Yeah.
He also had the World Series. And I have a problem with everybody, I guess I'd have pretty much have to admit. But my problem with him is I can't hear him. There's something about his levels or like because he does raise his voice like they all do now.
Yeah.
Which I don't know who started that, but now like Chris Fowler's spittle is all over my face every time I watch him do a game because he's so loud. Why do you have to be loud? You have a mic. But this guy is loud, but he sort of
gets lost.
I lose him.
The frequency of his voice must be blending in with the crowd or
baseball
something.
Baseball, too.
Yeah.
I was having this problem during the World Series. I brought it up to Matt Collar because, I don't know, I felt maybe like I didn't want to bring it up in here because this is another moment where I might be just old now.
Right.
But Matt's like, no, I totally agree with that. I have the same issue. So many, and he also has the Fowler issue, by the way, but so many times, like, you know they're kind of shouting, and you still really can't hear the announcer that well. I don't know why that is, but I noticed that. I had that same thought yesterday at the Bills game. Let's go to Frank here. Hi, Frank. Frank?
Oh.
Hi, Frank. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
What's going on?
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come on, Frank. We're waiting for you to start talking, buddy.
Hey, I'm down here in Kentucky. I'm a Buffalo fan. I just got a question for you about Matt Milano.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, we got Thompson playing very good. You got Dorian Williams. And how long you hang on to Matt?
I think this year is going to be. I would anticipate if he's back. His contract's up after this year, Frank. So if he's here, I would anticipate it being on a very team-friendly incentive type of thing, because I don't think he's been himself for a couple of years. The injuries, I think, have really taken a lot out of him. I think he's going to continue to play with Thompson is the big one. And I don't know, maybe you have a decision to make if Bernard gets healthy, where you maybe spell Milano with Bernard, because Thompson is never, ever, ever, ever coming off the field for me at this point.
He was the only defensive player to play every snap yesterday, yeah. So the Bills are with you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Frank. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Monday continues next here on WGR.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo.
I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.